Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, to everyone that's listening, we welcome you to Running for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service, starting with our Sunday school class. I like the song, Say What a Privilege. I always say it, and I'm going to say it again. I really like that song. When you stop and think about the fact what a privilege it is to come before the true and living God, and not just to come before him, as we've been reading about in Corinthians, but knowing that he lives inside of us. My name is Charles State, Deacon Charles State, and I'm going to be your teacher for the next so many minutes. But right now, let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. Thank you for this day that you've given us. This is the day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we have so much to rejoice for, Father. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to come to you and just thank you for the privilege that you've given us to call ourselves who we are, your children. See, we're not just orphans anymore, Father. We belong to you. You came and adopted us. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, so that we would know that we are able to come to you at any place, anytime, anywhere. And Father, for that, we truly thank you. And not just for being able to come to you, to know that we'll be able to spend eternity with you, Father. Salvation came because of your son, Jesus Christ. And the word tells us there is no other name given unto men under heaven that which we might be saved, and that's except for the name of Jesus. For that we thank you. But right now, Father, we look into your word. Move me out of the way. Let it be as you would have it to be, no other way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We ended last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're moving on to 7. But we have to understand this is a letter. So in order to begin 7, we kind of got to go back to the last part of chapter 6. Because 7 begins with, because we have these promises. Now, if you wasn't with us last week, and even now, we got to know what those promises are. So we got to go back to 7. Back to 6 and read, say, from verse 16 up into 18, and it reads as follows: And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. And just in those few verses right there, it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different times that God said, I will. Now, let's go on to 7. 7 begins like this. Because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God, because we have these promises. Now, the promises that God said, those were the I wills that we just read in chapter 6. And what we have to come to understand is that, like in 6:17, it's a promise, and it says, I will receive you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters. And then it goes on as we move into chapter 7, like I said, because of these promises, it talks about let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body and spirit. Now, when it talks about the cleansing, you know, we have to understand that cleansing is a twofold thing. Turning away from sin and turning toward God. You know, 1 John 1:9 goes like this, and I'm just going to jump to that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But here, it's the same thing we're talking about here, the cleansing part. I just said, we have to come to understand that it's a twofold thing. And when it comes down to the cleansing part, you know, God works on us. God's work, and I got to get this just right. God working with us, and when I that part, God working with us. God working with us. You know, the cleansing is, once again, I'm going to say it for the third time, a twofold thing. We have a part in this also. God sent Christ. Christ came. He died on our behalf. And that gave us, he took all our sins and everything to the cross. So that freed us from the guilt of sin. That freed us from the punishment for sin. That made us to where we were, not that sin doesn't still exist in our lives, but it cleaned us up. It made us right with God. Even when we sin, like I quoted before, we can confess our sin to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But what we have to understand, too, is that the part that comes into our lap, the part that falls into our lap, is that we have to turn away from our sin. And we have to not go back again. I know it's not easy, but we have to not go back again and make it right. You know, as I sit here and think about it, and I try to explain this to you, what I want you to understand is this. Like I said before, we play a part in this. Even though we're going to live sin-filled lives in this world, we're still going to be tempted by sin. We're still going to sin. We have to come to understand that the big part about all of this is that as we move in our Christian walk, the main aspect of cleansing that comes to us as we trust in God and trust in Jesus and his work on our behalf, the work of cleansing is really God's work in us and not our work. But it's another part to this. The aspect of cleansing that God looks for us to do with the participation on our own will and effort. It's not our work apart from God, but it's a work that awaits our will and effort. When it says, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiled our bodies, that means that, you know, like I said, we got something to do with this. You know yourself, and I do too, because I'm just a sinner saved by grace by you, like you. You know, we're not children anymore, and we're really not. Some of you might be, some of us might be still young in the faith, but those of us that have moved along and walked with God, we should by now be able to recognize what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, what's sin and what's not sin. And for a grown person to go back, or a mature person to go back, I just got to think about it last year. And I'm going to say it like this. For a grown person to put clean clothes on, walk down the street, see a puddle of mud, and step in the mud willingly anyway, can't call yourself grown. And that's how I look at this. For us as mature Christians, to continue, and the reason I'm kind of struggling with this is because I'm going to be honest with you. I still sin myself. But this word right here has helped me to come to understand that when we conduct, Paul said once, what then shall we continue in sin? When we know what to do and we don't do it, we back to the mud. When we walk down the street and we see a puddle of mud and we know it's mud and we got clean clothes on and we step in the mud anyway and continue to walk on, that's not us doing our part when it comes to what God's already done for us. Like I said, he's already provided Jesus Christ. Everything is taken care of for us. So we, when we come to that mud, when we come to that sin, and I'm praying right now for each and every one of us that I'm talking to, when we come to that place in our lives, when we approach by those sins, approach by those different tests that come at us from time to time, we have to know. And we can know, just like Paul says right here, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles our body and our spirit. Back in Paul's day, they had scribes and Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees were the leaders of the so-called church then. The reason I say so-called, because they weren't really very good leaders. And they walked around like they did no wrong. But the worst thing that they did was that they put Jesus on the cross and they killed him. That's the worst thing that they did. They never accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Because they were in it for the money. I'm just saying like that. But come to understand, and we really have to be conscious of the fact that all time, that yes, we're going to sin. But here it tells us, to let us cleanse ourselves from everything that defiles our body or our spirit. Or our spirit. See, when you do things to the spirit, remember we just read that in chapter 7 that we're the temple of the living God. And it's our responsibilities as believers, and it really is, to make sure that we develop an intimacy with God. And that'll help you. That'll really help you. The closer you get to him, the closer he'll get to you if you're in this cleansing process. Because, you see, God deals with the spirit. We know we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And God doesn't look on sin. It's just simple as that. But like 1 John 1:9 said, he helps us to clean us up. He'll help to clean us up. Let's move on. And the verse says, and look, and we're still in verse 1, and look, and let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. That word fear right there, you have to understand. I used to say, I didn't like to say don't be afraid, but I'm going to say this right now. Be afraid. Be kind of afraid. Because you got to remember this. The same God that made you is the one that can wipe you out. Now, he won't. He doesn't. But maybe we need to put that inside ourselves when it talks about fear. The fear means to really reverence him, to really honor him, to really revere him, to really call him our Lord and say, but when you really honor and reverence somebody, you do everything you can to stay in their good graces. So maybe we need to start looking at our Father in that way, doing everything we possibly can to stay in his good graces. Now, verse 2, please open your hearts to us. We have not done wrong to anyone, nor led anyone astray, nor taken advantage of anyone. Remember, Paul is writing a letter, and he's writing a letter back to people that he had founded a church for, and somehow or another they had got taken away by outsiders. You got to be careful not to be taken away by outsiders, what other people say or what other people think. That's part of the cleansing process, too. As you grow through your cleansing process, you'll come to find out, and you'll come to in your studies and your one-on-ones with God, you'll see that the more you deal with him, the more he'll show you those things that you shouldn't deal with. But Paul says, please open your hearts to us. We have not done wrong to anyone, nor led anyone astray, nor taken advantage of anyone. Paul wrote that he didn't do anything. And we got to understand with Paul, who Paul was. When you get the opportunity, you go back and find out who Paul is. Paul was somebody that seriously persecuted Christians. Paul killed people because they spoke the name of Jesus. Go read back to that scribes and Pharisees thing, too. See, Paul was one of those people before he came to know Christ as to who he really is. And the one thing about Paul is when he had the one-on-one with Christ and did the time that he did with Christ, in the one-on-one with Christ, he came to understand exactly who Christ was. And Paul was very remorseful about what he did. He spent the rest of his life feeling like he wasn't worthy because of what he had did to people that believed, to Christians. And we have to be very careful not to elevate ourselves higher than anyone else, and always remember not just whose we are, but who we are. You know, not who we are, but whose we are. And when he said he hadn't done anything to lead anyone astray, done wrong to anyone, nor taken advantage of anyone, that's a part of the cleansing process that I talked about earlier. These are things that we could look at and see and take to heart, not to do wrong to anyone, not to lead anyone astray, or take advantage of anyone. Then Paul went on to write, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I said before that you are in our hearts, and we live or die together with you. Paul was letting these people know, just plain and simple, I'm not saying anything to make you feel bad. I'm not doing this to put you down or anything like that. And we got to be careful as Christians, and we really do, because somebody is always watching. Somebody is always watching. And I don't care if it's a child in your house. I don't care if it's people in the street. I don't care who it is. Somebody is always watching. And the devil is always looking for a way to go before God and say, look what they did. Look what they did. I don't know if you ever read about Job, but that's what the devil did. He went up there, and he's an accuser. He is. He's an accuser of the brethren. He's an accuser of those who believe in Christ Jesus. And he's always looking for a way to accuse somebody. Like I said, I'm not saying this to condemn you. I said before that you are in our hearts and we live or die together with you. Verse 4 goes on to say, I have the highest confidence in you, and I will take great pride in you. You have greatly encouraged me and have made me happy despite all of our troubles. Thing that we have to come to understand in this letter is that, like Paul just said, I have the highest confidence in you, and I take great pride in you. You have greatly encouraged me and made me happy despite all of our troubles. If you've led somebody to Christ, but if you're a young believer right now and an old believer, you have to make that conscious effort all the time. Like I said a few minutes ago, that somebody is always watching. We talked about earlier about the cleansing part. We talked about cleansing our spirit. We talked about coming, you know, cleansing our spirit and our body. The body is easy to work on. It really is. The body is not hard. Well, maybe it's not easy, but it ain't that hard. The body is easy to work on. Just like you might go and take a good body wash and wash yourself up and you feel better. The body that this is talking about is the body of Christ, the church, us. So we have to make sure that we remember as to who lives inside of us. You know, when he talks about greatly encouraging, you have to be, but we got to remember that every day every day holds a certain amount of time to attend to physical needs, personal needs, and family needs, let alone the needs of others. And Paul had taken his life and wasn't really concerned anymore about his life because he knew his life was in Christ. We as believers need to come to the realization, I'm just going to say it like I say, that we're good to go. That we're good to go. No matter what happens in this world, we're good to go. But we were placed in this world for a reason. We are where we are right now for a reason. And that sole reason, just like Paul was doing when he wrote this letter and was living the life he was living, is to bring somebody else to Christ. That's what we're here for, to do the work of God. In our personal time with the Holy Spirit, in our personal time with the Father, we work on ourselves. When you walk outside that door, when you go into the public, you have got to come to the realization that, like I said earlier, that somebody's always watching. Somebody's always watching. The devil can't be everywhere. He can only be one place at a time, but he got a whole bunch of minions and boys that work for him, and they always got someone around you saying, look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. See what he did, see what he did, see what he did, see what he did. I'm going to just confess to you. During this course this last week, I had three or four times where he said, see what he did, and I had to reel it back in. And I really did. I had to reel it back in real quick. I'm not going to say I fell, but I slipped. And we have to remind ourselves at all times, that's just how it is with us while we're in this world. I'm going to go back to saying this, just like Paul. We're here to bring others to Christ. And that's what we're here for. And always remember, believer, while you out there, that might be the only Jesus person sees that day with you. We don't know when we're going to leave this world. We don't know when that person in front of us is going to leave this world. So while we're here, like your mom and daddy used to tell you, we got to be on our best behavior. Because we don't belong to ourselves. We can go back to 6 and when it says, I'll live with them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they will be my people. God the Father is a spirit. He's everywhere all the time. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He's always around. But we're his children. We're his children. And we can't do it by ourselves. But with him. We can make it happen. I'm not saying that you're not going to sin. I'm not saying that at all. But the cleansing process, the part that comes in where you go back and you say, and when we get into the rest of, when we get into the rest of 7 next week, because time is flying on me, when we get to rest of 7, we'll talk about repentance and things like that. We'll talk about repentance. But the cleansing process, what we already have, see, I like to talk about the house. We already got the foundation. And we already have the one that resides in the house. And if we do our part, he's going to continue to do his part. And as we build the house, I don't know if you ever saw a house being built. As the house is going up, the wiring, the drywall, and everything else that goes in it, God is already there. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, and when he said, God can change things in 40 years or in a minute, however he decides to do it. So if you allow him to come in, and if you let him have his way with you, and do that cleansing part. Spend personal one-on-one time with him. The 40 years, before you know it, might just turn into a minute. I don't know if I made any sense today, but that's where we're going to wrap it up today. Next week, we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 5, and we're going to finish off 2 Corinthians chapter 7 next week. But right now, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to look in your word. Father, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I have no idea as to what I'm saying. And Lord, I don't have any ideas of what I'm doing. So I hope, Father, I pray, Father, that what I said made some sense to somebody somewhere. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you more than anything, Father, because I'll be perfectly honest in front of everybody right now. This ain't me. This is not me, Father. I only do what you tell me to do. I used to try to do it a different way, but, Father, it just wasn't working for me. So you told me to do it the way that we do things. This is how we talk on a daily basis, Father. You know, Father, I'm just a sinner saved by your grace. And Father, everybody out there that's saved can say the same thing. But Father, we also have to remember that we belong to you. We're yours. Father, we had a blessing on the service that's going on before us. Father, we had your total blessing on the one that's going to speak your word today. Father, we know that in all things, in everything, let everything be a sweet smell as it comes up to your nostrils this day, Father. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yep. The closer we get to God, the closer he'll get to us. I like that. And God is pleased with what you do. Because you broke it down and you had a lot of good points and you were teaching the word. So thank you for that and we appreciate you.
Goodbye.
Have a great day.
You too.
Oh, thank you. All right, we will have a song and I'll see you on the other side and we'll start our service. Amen.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here, oh, presence of the Lord is here, Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here, oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of
of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own Sister Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Good morning.
Good morning, Kat.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Okay, take it away.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world. I can feel the presence of the Lord. I will be reading to you from Colossians, the third chapter, the first through the 15th verse, Living the New Life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. Greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of His great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lisa. We appreciate
Amen.
You. Have the best day ever.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. I know everybody that we're going through something. Let me say good morning to everybody and welcome to our Saturday morning, our Sunday morning worship service. Just thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. Appreciate Deacon Charles Tate for that Sunday school lesson talking about, yeah, we got a part to play. Jesus dealt with our sins. He got them all paid for. But then we got a life to live. Amen. We got a God to glorify. But don't worry about it. He fit in everything. so we can meet him sometime, amen, at some point in the sky. Amen. We're going through some tough times. It's not like we're not, and God knows that we are because he allowed these tough times or he sent these tough times. But our faith, amen, will speak to it for us. So no matter what we're going through, and I love this song. It's by Byron Cage. He calls himself the Prince of Praise, and you'll see why in a second. But, amen, this song calls us to do, amen, what we should do. No matter what we're going through, we bless the Lord, not just sometime, but at all times.
Come on, I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, set, clap your hands. Never change.
I will bless the Lord.
Children.
done great things for me, so I will. I want you to think back over your life to all those hard times, all those worst times, all those times you didn't even want to be alive no more. And here you are. Yes, amen. You know what? They give us a word. We have one word that can come somewhere near trying to praise God for who he is and all he does for us. The word is hallelujah. Amen. And he's really the only person I know that is worthy of the use of that word. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's sing together. It's church choir time this morning, and we're going to join in with the choir. Come on, church. Let's sing. Amen. Get your song on. man. I can't wait till we get back in church to watch the praise team do that live, and I can be in the back of the church just hollering. Amen. It's coming up August, first Sunday in August. Amen. Everything holds out the same. We'll be back in live church on Sunday. Amen. Pastor Tate, the music minister, and amen, Lisa Thorne, praise team leader, and amen, whole praise team. I can't wait till we get back and we can do that song live in person. I miss hollering in back of the church. Amen, making all that kind of noise and stuff. But amen, we'll get back there. We'll get back. Well, you know, I know we've been up and dancing around. We're probably sweating a little bit, and you know we don't like to sweat. We have hair issues. Amen, but you know. You just got to praise Jesus because he is just so awesome. So I'm going to slow it down for us just a bit here, just a little bit. We're going to slow it down, and we're going to concentrate on the Lord. And this is the song you want to sing when you're in the middle of it. Amen. When you're going through, when it's at its worst, when you're having your, amen, praise party at midnight in the Philippian jail time, this is a song you want to focus on. You know, Isaiah, amen, he was, some say he was related to King Uzziah, and he was one of the good kings. You know, most of them was crap straight out, but he was one of the good kings. And then he died. Amen. You know how you feel when that person or that thing you was depending on died. You go out to go to work and your car got a flat. You know where I'm going with this, right? Amen. How do you see the Lord then? It's easy to see the Lord when we, you know, hallelujah, yo, all that stuff. It's easy. But how do you see him when you wake up and the power out? Amen. Amen. Is he high and lifted up in this place? And that place is no longer a building. That place is, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He resides in us. So do we see him high and lifted up in this place? I'm pointing at my body. Amen, because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. What, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He resides in you. So is he high and lifted up in you when it all's going wrong?
There is no other.
feeling high and lifted up this morning. I really am. Beautiful song. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice is a lie. God provides, God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through. When the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew, now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me?
Let us come boldly to the throne of the Most High God in prayer. Good morning, Lord, my Savior and my God. We, your children, come before you today with hearts of gratitude. You are good, and your love endures forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. And with that, we have so much to be grateful for. Lord, you have made your salvation known and revealed your righteousness to the nations. We declare the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your throne is above every throne. We are honored to be a friend of God. Lord, right now we pray that your will be done in earth. We pray that the community of the church will come together in unity and do what you called us to do, to make disciples, to proclaim the gospel to a dying world, to look at friends and widows in their distress, and to minister to those in need. You have blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have given us everything that we need, that those among us should not be in need of anything. Father, your word says that you know what we need even before we ask. Take the scales off our eyes that we may do away with foolish arguments over your word, and so that we can serve you with a pure heart. We know that this is a trick of the enemy. Keep us guarded from our enemies. We know that our enemy wants to keep us from carrying out your will in the earth. We know that your will is that no one perish. Lord, we know that our enemy wants the world to believe that your kingdom comes with restrictions, boredom, and poverty, but we know that to be a lie. Your word says that you have come to give us life to the fullest. For who the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, we pray against every thought of the enemy that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We pray for people who have heard the gospel and want to believe, but is afraid of leaving their lives behind to follow Christ. Maybe they're afraid that they have to admit that they were wrong. Maybe they have to admit that, Jesus, you are the only way into the Father's presence. And maybe they have led others astray in the past. Let them see that you are forgiving and merciful, and that when we repent of our sin, you throw our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, remembering them no more. In Jesus, we have redemption through your blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that you lavished on us. Lord, it's been a rough year with the COVID-19 outbreak, which has harassed the nations. We hear that there are nations who are being sacked with another wave of the virus. We're hearing rumors that there are other strains of this virus. We pray for the wisdom and protection of your people. For we know that the Lord hears the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them. You listen to our cries. You defend the fatherless and the oppressed. We pray for government, not only for our nation, but around the world. For we know that government is divinely established. Let your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Let your people rise up in every nation, serving you in our communities, at work, and in the government. Let us be transformed into the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, so that when the world sees us, they see Jesus, and they desire the life that you have given us. Let our children have a passion for your word. Let us be reminded that it is our responsibility to teach our children your word, that they may know your word and obey your commands. Lord, let us hear what we need you to know in your preached word today. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we ask all these things, knowing that you hear our prayer. Amen.
Lord, Lord, hear our prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, for praying and making our request known to God. All right. So far, we are having a great time, and I'm truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you've been blessed by this Saturday's, this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. All right, time for the preach word, a message from God, the icing on the cake, the best part. The next voice you will hear after this song selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she come in her own way. Amen.
Breathe on me. Ooh, that's a beautiful song. I really needed to hear that this morning, too. We all need to remember that even if we can't be with people when they're in times of distress, if they're calling on the Lord, He is there with them, and that is what they need. Well, we have certainly had an opportunity this morning to get closer to Him. I was listening to Nicole's prayer. She mentioned that He is merciful and forgiving, and that's the God that we praise this morning, and that's the God who is about to speak to us this morning through His Word. Pastor's sermon this morning is entitled New Body, and he has asked me to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Again, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 5, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of His great word. Just reading those comforting words is blessing enough. Have you ever looked forward to a vacation, but the closer you got to it, you started to fret over the details of getting there or wonder if when you reach your destination, will it all be worth it? Look at the blessings of God. The Lord God Himself, the ultimate travel agent, reassures us that all of the details have been taken care of for our destination. Payment in full was made when Jesus died on the cross, providing us with many, many benefits. All we need to do on our journey is to follow His instructions as we enjoy this ride called life. And the main thing that will ensure that all things work to our good is our obedience. You have taken such a step by your gathering with us this morning, just as Hebrews 10 encourages us to do. That chapter also informs us that God can be trusted to keep promises. One way He keeps His promises is sending us teachers and pastors. And Pastor O, He has sent one who thinks of ways to motivate us through acts of love and with good works. I hope you are ready and eager to hear now what God has told him to tell us. If yes, then repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers. Appreciate it. And love how you hung on that fifth verse. That is the one that I was waiting for the Lord to reveal to me what He wanted me to say about it. So I know you didn't know that, but thank you for allowing Him to speak through, to speak that word through you to me. And tell my boy Ray, I say, what's up? Clean out the room. All right. Hey, man. I thank God for each and everybody that tunes in. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. Father, I am so excited about this one, and I know many are. We get brand new bodies. Only you can do that. You made this one out of dust, but we messed it all the way up, and now it dies. But you got one not made with human hands. And we want that one. So help us, Father, understand this so that we can do what Paul, so we can live like what Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians 15, so that we know that the work that we're doing for you is not in vain. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, y'all, repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you, as Deacon Tate taught in that lesson, we need some cleaning. Clean on us, Lord. In Jesus' name, help us to play our part. Amen. Amen. I had to switch that up a little bit. Amen. See, Deacon Tate would say he was struggling with that part over there, and I know what he's talking about because, God, Jesus cleaned us all up when he died for our sins. But guess what? Amen. Natrice Jackson, I'm going to blame her for this, Minister Natrice Jackson. Amen. She said, she preached a sermon one time. She said, salvation free. I was like, hallelujah. You're worthy. And then she said, but every step after that going to cost you. I'm like, what? But she was right. As we walk with the Lord, amen, he's working on us. No, I'm not going to preach last week's message, but you get a chance, go listen to it. Jesus working on us, and he's going to keep working on us till we're in front of him. When we're in front of him, he's going to put his hammer and chisel and his, all his tools down, amen. He's going to take the mud off and wash his hands, and we off the potter's wheel, and we all together. But guess what? We ain't there yet. We on our way there. So as long as we on our way there, he's going to be working on us. I'm excited, y'all, about this new bodies. Amen. I don't know about the body you in, but the one I'm in got some problems. It's got mental problems, and it's got physical problems. And here's what's worse. I don't know about you, but here's what's worse. Mine can't be fixed. The medication for my problems, I'm allergic to. And my mental problems, I can't serve the Lord without them. So mine can't be fixed. I have to live with them. You know, I'm like Paul, Jesus, fix this thing. Fix this thing. Fix this thing. When he got tired of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? He turned around and said something to me. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm like, Jesus, is that a no or a yes about fixing this thing? He turned around, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. These bodies that we live in, boy, I'm telling you. And it's the luck of the draw which one you're going to get when you come in here. See, the Lord says, before your mother and father got together, amen, I knew you. So God knew us when we didn't have a body. And so we come into a world that's marred by sin. We are born and shaped in iniquity. As soon as we get here, we got a sinful, bad nature, sin nature, and a dying body. Oh, it just don't get no worse than that. You come here into this world. Now watch this. You ain't even asked to come here. Amen. You didn't even get to choose. You didn't even, after seeing so many people with bodies after Adam and Eve, you know, after they messed this thing up. Amen. Give me that kind of body. No, don't give me that body because that body got, amen. You didn't get to choose the body you were going to get when you got here. You can get here and your body don't even have all the fingers. You can get here and your body don't even work. It won't even move. You can get here, and I'm telling you, anything can be going on with this body. You could be born, got one eye. Amen. We're calling you Cyclops. Amen. I was born like this. We are born toe up from the floor up. Amen. As soon as we step left of God's word, the Lord said, don't eat from that tree. Because when you eat from that tree, guess what? Your body going to be tore up from the floor up. You're going to be living in it, and it's dying. You're going to be living in it, and your nature is going to be evil. I'm going to say left, your nature going to say right. I'm going to say up, your nature going to say down. We ain't going to even be friends. We don't even have fellowship. You over there, and I'm over here. And there's a gulf fixed between us. But thank God for Jesus. Amen. You see, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, I love the way the King James Version said, though, when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved. I'm like, this Jesus tabernacle dissolved. Yeah, I know what dissolved means. That means it's gone. And tabernacle, what does that mean? He taught me that tent. He taught me that house. That taught me that something that houses your spirit. I said, so what are you saying? He says, that is when you die and leave this earthly body. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down. Have you ever seen somebody, amen, order a tent? We want us a tent. Bring us a tent. They come and they set that tent up. Amen. And you use that tent, you get shade from that tent, you get comfort, you share jokes and laughs, eat food under that tent, and then one day they come and take it down. You're not under the tent anymore. Amen. So the Lord says to us that we are going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Okay, wait a minute. You didn't tell me about I got to die. You didn't see when we were in heaven and the Lord knew us and like Jeremiah, he formed us. See, the Lord knew us before we got here. And amen. But we didn't ask to come here. But like my father used to tell me when I told him that we're here, so deal with it. And we are here. And it is appointed to us once to die. You cannot believe in death, you're still going to die. You cannot believe in death, and you'll see folks having homegoings and funerals. So it's clear. It's not made up. Man didn't, amen, make it up. But God said it would happen when we disobey him and seek to have the knowledge of good and evil apart from him and then live apart from him. He said, when you do that, you're going to die. It's like when Jonah, amen, he didn't want to do what the Lord told him to do, so he started his journey down. Amen. First, he went down to the sea. That's his first down. Then once he got on the boat, he went down to the bottom of the boat. And when the folks on the boat discovered they were in a storm because he was on the run from Jesus, amen, they finally agreed to throw him overboard. They all came to Jesus after they saw all that happen. And then Jonah went down into the sea. And God had fixed the fish big enough to swallow him. And then Jonah went down into the fish. Amen. How far down we got to go before we have a prayer meeting? It's appointed unto man once to die. And that's what happened when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate from that tree. They immediately died. It didn't mean that they fell down. Like when you go outside and you pull a plant up out of the ground, it don't immediately turn brown and wither in your hand. But after a while, if you don't put it back in the life-giving earth, it's going to die. So the first thing that we need to deal with is that dying part. You know, the Bible says, as I told you before, that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Okay, well, where does that say that in the Bible, Pastor? Oh, since you always talking about everything you say, you back up with the word. Go over there to Hebrews chapter 9. Okay, here we're going to get two things. Confirmation that the Lord said we're going to die, but guess what? He has done something about the judgment, just like he did for Adam and Eve. He told them that y'all going to die. And sure enough, when they disobeyed God, they started dying. But guess what? The Lord chased after them. Ain't that something? They ran from God and hid behind trees and fig leaves, but it didn't work. Amen. But the Lord pursued them, chased them down, gave them the offer to repent. Amen. You heard Deacon Charles Tate talking about 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, now they weren't real good at confessing. The Lord said, Adam, where are you? He done gone crazy now because he's a sinner. He got a sin nature now. He crazy. Adam say, well, I was naked and I hid myself. What the Lord meant is, why are you not in line with my word? Why are you misaligned with my word? That's what the Lord meant. Adam thought he was talking about a place. And then when the Lord said, well, who told you you was naked? And then they wasn't good at confessing at all. But they was good. You know how we good at blaming other people for our stuff? Adam said, well, the woman that you made, you know, because I was just fine under you, Lord. I had a place to live. I had a job you gave me, and I knew I couldn't eat from that tree. But then the woman you made, really, you're going to blame God and your wife. Amen. Throw her straight under the bus because you're going to blame your wife and God. The woman you made, she gave me and I ate. I ain't know where she cooked that at. I just thought she cooked it, brought it in and put it on the table. I ate it. Eve wasn't no better at confessing either. The Lord go to her and say, what is this that thou hast done? Oh, I did something, but the serpent that you made, the one you made wiser than any of the other animals, well, he tricked me with his words, and I ate. So they wasn't real good at confessing. So the Lord, amen, he pursued them anyway. Isn't that wonderful about God? He knew when he made Adam and Eve, they was going to straight fail. He knew that. But guess what? He also knew Jesus was coming. So God made a promise in Genesis 3:15 that Jesus is coming, and he's going to make everything all right. They believed in the Jesus who was coming, and they fixed it up with the Lord, and they started teaching their children about the Lord. So we need to do something. Look, we're going to die, and there's nothing that we can do about that. But God has done something about that. Look at verse 27 in Hebrews chapter 9. It says, and just as each person is destined to die once. Uh-oh, watch out. You can die twice. You're destined to die just once. Okay? And after that comes judgment. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Everybody's going to court. Go read Revelation chapter 20. If you ain't saved, you're going to what's called the white throne judgment. Now, there is no judgment for those who are in Christ, because they pass from death to life. There is now, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Amen. So God made a way to deal with dying and the judgment that comes after it. Ain't that something? You're not only going to die, but you're going to court. And you're going, and they're going to open up the books. You read Revelation chapter 20. They're going to open up the books, and everything you ever said, everything you ever did, like Jesus said, we're going to be judged by every man shall be judged by every word that comes out of his mouth. Ooh, you're thinking about all the words that came out of your mouth, huh? Hey, man, don't worry about it. Jesus already fixed it. If you've accepted him. Now, if you look, Paul said over there, when this earthly tent, okay, this earthly tabernacle is dissolved. Amen. So we're going to die. And here's what Jesus did about that. Because once we die, we go to judgment for our sins, for everything we did wrong. Can you remember all the things you did wrong when you was 5? Can you remember all the things you did wrong when you was 10? What about 20? What about 40? That's a lot of time and a lot of things to remember, but guess what? They're all written down. Amen. Okay, you don't believe that. Real quick, run with me over to Revelation chapter 20. You know I got to back it up with some word. Every time you say something about Jesus, you ought to know a word to back it up with. Amen. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Amen. Listen to this. I'm at verse 11. Oh, it's scary. It is real scary. And I said, and I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. I'm going to let you know who the one who was sitting on, his name, Jesus. The earth and sky fled from his presence. They was trying to hide, y'all, but they found no place to hide. How are you going to hide from somebody who everywhere present at once? Hey, man, I saw the dead. Oh, Lord have mercy. So death ain't the end of us? No, it's not. I saw the dead, both great, that means rich, and small, that means poor, and everybody in between. Guess where they were? They were standing before God's throne. And the books were open. What books, Pastor O? Including the book of life. It was open too, but your name wasn't in it. And the dead were judged according to what they had done. You want to be judged according to what you have done? You don't even remember what you did when you were 6. Okay, you don't remember what happened when you was 8. You probably remember some of that stuff in your 20s, and you regretting all that stuff in your 40s, but still turning it up in your 50s. Amen. So the books are written, and every single thing you've ever done is recorded in those books, the bad stuff, not the good stuff. For Christians, all that's recorded is the good stuff so you can get rewarded. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, right, proves that out. But we talking about folks who ain't saved, folks who ain't accepted Jesus Christ, folks who are destined to die and to face this judgment right here, right? But they ain't did nothing about it yet. I'm trying to help you right now to avoid this judgment, okay? You don't want to be judged by what's recorded in those books, and you cannot hide from it. Why? Because the sea gave up the dead. They thought they was dead because they got ate up by a shark, and they were never coming back. But now they stand in front of Jesus, and death and the grave gave up their dead. So wherever you was dead at, you had to go stand before Jesus. And all were judged according to their deeds. Amen. But for Christians over there in Revelations 14 and 13, it tells us they'll rest from their labor, and their works or their deeds do follow them. You know, we saved, but we're not saved because of our good works. We're saved to do good works that God planned for us to do before we was even born, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And then death and the grave, because God don't need them in heaven, right? They were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Lord have mercy. Wait a minute, Jesus. It's appointed unto us once to die and then the judgment. And then there's another death? Lord have mercy. Hey, we ain't died enough. Look, facing the first death is hard enough. And here it is, a second death. Okay? Anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Thrown into the lake of fire. Oh, the devil, he's already there. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they already there if you're wondering about them. You're going to follow them there if you don't accept Jesus. I needed to fix that with you. Why? Because before we can get to the rest of what 2 Corinthians is talking about, 1 through 5, amen, before we can get to the rest of that, you need to fix that. You need to get it right with Jesus. Or the second part of this verse don't even matter to you. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in, that is when we die and people run around saying, so-and-so passed away yesterday. They ain't here no more. I don't know about the arrangements yet, but they gone. Amen. That is when we die and leave this earthly body. And guess what? Show me somebody who didn't do it other than Jesus, amen, and come back. Show me somebody who did it and came back and didn't have to die again. Don't talk to me about anybody who got resurrected in the Bible from the dead because they had to die again. But Jesus died and was raised from the dead to die no more. Amen. And now all who come to Jesus, weary, wounded, and sad, guess what he do? He going to make you real glad. Why? Because guess what? When you have to leave this body, amen? And see, to get this next birth, well, we'll talk about that. Guess what he says? When we leave this body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Go with me right quick to John chapter 1 and look at verse 12. Listen to what Jesus say. But all who believed him and accepted him, oh, he gave the right to become children of God. So you get the right to become a children of God from Jesus. And we are the children of God. Yeah, I know how I use that word. I like that. We are the children of God. I am the children of God. Amen. I know I should say child of God, but I like children. Amen. To as many as believed on him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's how old folks would say it. But no matter how you say it, you're a child of God. Why? Because you believed on him. Amen. Now watch this. This is the part we want to see. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. See, our parents got together one day. Amen. And then they got together another day. Amen. And then we were born. That was according to their plan. Amen. But this new body that we got, eternal for us, made in the heavens, is by God himself, and humans ain't got nothing to do with that. When Jesus got up, it wasn't Mary who gave him his glorified body. Uh-oh, watch out. Somebody say glorified. You done added a word. Go with me to Philippians. Go to chapter 3, down here in verse 20 and 21. I love these verses just because of the tense of them. Amen. Listen, but we are citizens of heaven. Oh, Lord have mercy. Because I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I am a citizen of heaven. And I'm still here on earth, but I'm a citizen of heaven. But I allow God's kingdom to operate on earth just like it does in heaven by allowing him to have his way through me. I'm a citizen of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. I'm a citizen of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. I'm already a citizen of heaven. I don't have to wait until this earthly tabernacle be dissolved or this tent that I'm living in is taken down. I'm already that. Oh, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Amen. What did you mean, Savior? He already my Savior. No, yeah, well, yeah, he my Savior. He saved my soul. Amen. Fitted for the sky, right? Amen. But what we're talking about is what Deacon Tate is talking about, the second half. Amen. When he will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own. See, when Jesus got up, he had a glorious body. Mary gave him an earthly body, a human body, one that was going to die. And we know he died. Didn't he die? They tell me he died to the earth, rocked and reeled like a drunken man. They say he died. You get the point, right? He died because he was in that, amen, human body that he got from his daddy and his mama, his God, his father in heaven, and Joseph, his adoptive father, and Mary, his biological mama. Amen. Gave him a human body, just like the ones we live in. But when Jesus got up, guess what? He could walk through a door, or he could pull the knob and push it open and go through. He could eat food, or he could not eat food. He demonstrated that he was not a disembodied spirit walking around as a hologram, but he had a real body after he got up. But guess what? It wasn't like that human one. It was a glorious body. It was no longer flesh and blood. It was flesh and bone. Because Jesus tells us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you ought to read that sometime. Amen. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he tells us that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So he tells us over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 the same thing he's telling us over here in Philippians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21, that we're going to get glorious bodies. And if you're wondering how he's going to do it, he's going to use the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. He got all power in heaven and earth. He got enough power to get you up out this crappy body and put you in a brand new glorified body. But you can't get none of that if Jesus ain't your Lord and Savior. This ain't for folks who following Buddhism. This ain't for folks who following Confucianism. This ain't for anybody following the myriad of gods the Hindus worship. And it's not talking about Allah. This is talking about the heaven that Jesus said he was the way to get there. He was the truth that you learned to get you there. And he was the only way that you was going to come into the presence of his Father. There is no other way. There is no, you heard Deacon Charles Tate say this, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you want to get to the heaven where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, amen. You're going to need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ain't nobody else, I don't care what you call God or think is God, can't get you to that heaven. Going to get you somewhere, white throne judgment, but it ain't going to get you to heaven. Not the one where Jesus is, not the one where Jesus is going to come back and get his church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 tells us that we shall not all sleep, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trumpet sound of God, amen, Jesus going to crack the sky wide open. He ain't going to come to the earth, but he's going to snatch up those who have already died in him and give them a glorious body. And then those of us who are yet alive and remain, guess what? We're going to be caught up. Harpazo is the Greek word for that. Snatched away, caught away, something that happens real quick. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and guess what? We're going to have glorified bodies. Amen. Well, we go weary in these present bodies. I don't know about you. My old folks made up a song, "This Old Building Keeps on Leaning." God, I love old folks. They had that theology down, and they ain't even had an eighth grade education. And here we got umpteenth grade education is still dumb as bricks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You didn't even hear that. We grow weary. I don't know about you, but I get tired of this body. Just wake up. Just for the past 4 days, I've been dealing with a crook in my neck. I don't even know how it happened. But for 4 days, I've been walking around here like a stiff neck. Amen. You tell me, if you to the right of me, I can't even look. I had to turn my whole body that way. I just woke up and it was like that. One day I had a little bitty spot on my leg. Now it had stretched to almost the middle of my foot to the top of my leg. And then it shrunk back down to a little bitty space and just stayed there. They call it gravital eczema. I ain't grow up with gravital eczema, and now I got it. Lord have mercy. I don't know. We grow weary in these bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies. I don't know about you running around here with arthritis or just wake up in pain all day, in pain all night. Can't even hardly sleep. I think God leave us in these crapped out bodies to make us want to go to heaven. We don't. You live long enough in this body, you ain't scared of death no more. And you start hearing about Jesus, you start hearing about heaven, you start hearing about glorified. I'm ready to get out of here. Amen. Look, for we will all put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies, disembodied spirits. You know, one thing that intrigues me, and the Lord won't tell me all about it. He said, I ain't got the mind. My brain will blow up. But what I asked him, Jesus, when Samuel showed up and talked to Saul, what body did they see since they had his funeral and they buried him? When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Elijah and Moses showed up, what kind of body did they have? Since flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God and ain't nobody got a glorified body yet until the rapture happened, what kind of bodies did they have? That is interesting. You get a chance, go look at Samuel talking to Saul after he died. And then go look at Jesus having a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And they had long been dead. And Peter wanted to build 3 tabernacles, 3 houses, 3 booths. I don't care what Bible you're reading and what interpretation they give that. It all means the same thing, a space, something you could see. What did they see? That's a mystery. If I died right now, will I have a body like Samuel had? Will I have a body like Moses and Elijah, something that is temporary until I get my glorified body? Oh, that just gives me hope, because the Lord says, well, we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirit bodies. Now, he's talking about the glorified body, but I'm talking about a body that the Lord clearly showed us in the Bible that that Samuel had and that Moses and Elijah had. Ask the Lord about it. And if he tell you all about it, please call me and tell me about it, but it gives me hope. While we live in these earthly bodies, guess what? We groan and sigh. You should have heard me groaning when I try to move in the bed. And you ain't never had a crook in your neck or just had your back, just every muscle in your back just going to a Charlie horse. I don't know why they call it a Charlie horse. I don't know. With your whole back going to a Charlie horse. Or you just sitting in the bed. One time my wife was just sitting in the bedroom watching television. Next thing you know, she hollering at the top of her lungs. I run in there. She looked like a pretzel. Amen. She had Charlie done attacked her, him and his horse. I know you're laughing, Crystal. Charlie did ride a horse. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? We groan and we sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. We ain't in no hurry to die, amen. We want to get to heaven real quick, but we ain't in no hurry to die. In other words, we don't want to be just disembodied spirits. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies. Well, I don't know about you, but that makes me excited about going to heaven, putting on a new body, getting a body that don't need to sleep, getting a body that don't need glasses, getting a body that don't have a bald spot in your afro, getting a body that got an afro. I used to have an afro. But then I got a bald spot. I think I got it from laughing at my father's bald spot. My cousin Blair Foreman told me, laughing is catching. And he caught me. And I got a bald spot. And then I just had to go ahead and sacrifice the rest of it. Because my wife started saying, you need to let the rest of that hair rest. Go ahead and get the clipper. Get the clipper. Put it on super low. And go. And I've been doing that ever since. Praise the Lord. Rather, we want to put on new bodies so that our dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Now, here's the good news as I come to a close. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. As a guarantee, God has given us his Holy Spirit that guarantees that we have a new body coming. So we should be enthusiastic about serving the Lord, and we should do like Pastor Tate used to tell us, that until the last person that Jesus knows is going to be saved, get saved, we're going to be stuck here. So she said, pray, Lord, come quickly. Now, the only reason Jesus can come quickly is because we got out there and told somebody he died. Didn't he die? Amen. We need to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't know. You might be the person that God used to bring about the rapture. You might be the person to tell the last person who God knows is going to be saved before he look over at Jesus, because Jesus don't know when he's coming back. He said, only the Father know. And when he look over at Jesus, Jesus go get your church. Amen. See, you're the reason that we don't have a new body yet. Yep, it's your fault. That person that you keep not telling Jesus about, who Jesus knows, if that person gets saved, the rapture going to happen. That's your fault. You're the reason we stuck here. Amen. Just playing. But the Lord wants us to know, and he wants us to be encouraged, that we won't be stuck in these bodies forever. Just like Jesus got up out of that body and got him a glorified body, one that he could just appear to the men on the road to Emmaus, or a body that can just lift up off the earth and defy gravity at will. We will finally be those people all the way. We somewhat that now, according to our faith and our maturity, right? We're somewhat that now, but we will be those people who can say, because we're God's children. I don't think we know what that means. We're God's children. Jesus didn't tell us, go get us a hammer, a tractor, a bulldozer, a steam shovel, and try to move the mountain. Jesus said, we are the people who say. If we say and believe and don't doubt, then what we say will happen. And he's trying to teach us how to be God's children. God said, let there be this. God said, let there be that. And it was. And he's trying to teach us how to see. Angels ain't God's children. They are servants to those who are being saved. And we're the ones being saved. We got new bodies coming, y'all. So let's not worry about this body that we in. And, yeah, it might be tore up from the flow up. But it ain't going to be tore up from the flow up forever. And let me tell you something. The life we live on this earth ain't as long as we think it is. It gets over. And when somebody leaves here, no matter how long they had been here, it seemed like they was only here a minute. So let us do what the psalmist said. Teach us, Lord, to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. So when you come back, Jesus, as you said over there in Matthew chapter 24, down in the latter parts, you said, who is he who did his master's will? Who is he whom when his master returns will be blessed? Why? Because they were doing what he told them to do when he returned. So while we wait on our new bodies, let's know this, that we got work to do. Okay? Even though we're in these old bodies, and we don't have to worry about the guarantee. God has guaranteed that you're going to get it. But like he said over there in 1 Corinthians 15, as I come all the way to a close, Paul said, let us work enthusiastically, knowing that the work that we're doing for the Lord is not in vain. And why is it not in vain? Because of the rapture. Because of the new bodies. Amen, Crystal. I turn it over to you. I ain't through, but baby Holy Ghost is going to come in here and hit me with a frying pan if I don't quit.
Lord, so, hey. She's going to come in there with Charlie and the horse. So you know when you said that, of course I was laughing. Then you said, I know you laughing. I said, wait a minute, am I muted or not? Right? You know I was laughing. I had to make sure I was muted.
Charlie and his voice.
Yes, I was cracking up. I said, Lord, Lord have mercy. That's too much. But, oh, my goodness, Lord have mercy. Everything hinges on the fact that we belong to Jesus. These perks are perks, like you called them the bennies when you were talking about the plan for marriage and family. You were talking about the benefits of marriage. Everybody wants the benefits, the bennies that come with stuff. Well, you don't get the benefits of eternal life in this glorified body if you don't belong to Jesus. Everything hinges on your belief in Jesus being your Savior. Like, what are we waiting on? Like you said, it is all of our faults. We all have the responsibility to be witnesses, because that last person that needs to be saved is who the Lord is waiting on to rapture us and get us up out of these old raggedy, dusty bodies. So, yes, it's all of our faults, okay?
Ashy.
It's all of our faults. You know,
right here
that,
like
that.
Ashy Larry.
Okay? It's all of our faults that we out here in these raggedy, dusty, busted bodies. So it's our responsibility to do what we got to do, because only the Father knows, you know, when the last person, like you said, is going to be saved. And so the longer we take to do what we need to do, the longer we're going to be here in these rusty, dusty, broken up bodies. And I don't know about you, but I want a glorified body. You know what I'm saying? Not only to be in heaven with your loved ones who have passed on before you, but to know that's how you'll be for eternity. You know, we're only here for a moment. It seems like our lives are really long when you live 80, 90, 100 years, you know what I'm saying? But it's not. It's not a long time next to eternity. So we all have a responsibility to be witnesses like we were called to be, to get people saved, because we ain't going nowhere until the last person has accepted Jesus Christ, and only the Father knows that. So we have been reminded and we have been told. And we got black coffee today. Pastor, go ahead and let your heart rate come down for a Pentel cup.
Thank you.
With the frying pan. Yeah, go ahead and bring that down. So we've been reminded of what we need to do. You know, your life here on earth will never be perfect. But think about how perfect everything is in heaven. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to wait to get your life together and to get yourself together and your situations together to come to Jesus, because none of that is going to happen without him. And this life here is not going to be perfect, but your perfection waits on you in heaven when you accept Jesus Christ. So we all have a responsibility to make sure that we are getting people saved, because we're prolonging our lives here on earth. And when if we just do what we're supposed to do, we can go on and get up out of here. All right, y'all. Amen. So good morning. Happy Sunday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, new and old, who tune in to our Sunday morning worship service. We know that you are all blessed. We want to acknowledge our pastors at Run for Christ Ministries, Pastor O, Pastor Janice, Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Terrence, Pastor Janine, Pastor John McFall. We're so thankful to have you all as shepherds and teachers and leaders. For all of us at Run for Christ Ministries, and we thank you all so much for everything that you have done and continue to do to help us all to be who we were called to be in Christ. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 says, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." And so we know that Pastor O was that messenger today. So we thank you for bringing the good news to us, teaching and preaching the word of God to not just us at Run for Christ Ministries, but because of Blog Talk Radio, who, you know, Blog Talk has turned into something that none of us really ever thought it would turn into. You know, it was really just initially designed and set up for Run for Christ Ministries, for us to be able to reach out to members who were not able to, you know, come out and attend services. But it has turned into the word of God going all over the world. So it is just a huge blessing. And so everybody who needs to hear the word of God is able to do so on this free platform of Blog Talk Radio. And so we're so very, very grateful. We thank you, Pastor O, for bringing that awesome word to us today. Amen. Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I, yours truly, will be teaching 2 Chronicles, chapters 1 through 6. The questions have been emailed, and they are available online for you to access. RFCM.org is the place to go under Bible classes, and they will be there for you. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series Training Day. So please set yourself a reminder each week and tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday. Also, the fourth Wednesday of every month from now until around November, starting at around 10:30 a.m. for setup, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, along with Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in and be a part of it is out at the bus stop in front of the church building, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches. So if you're able to make it out, please do. You're more than welcome. Again, it's the fourth Wednesday of every month, beginning right around 10:30 a.m. for setup. Pastor O has expressed that Minister Shelley is very, very, very timely. So if you have the opportunity to come out and you could be on time, please come out. Amen? Amen. So we know our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be launching her very own Blog Talk Radio show entitled Back to the Family, Focus on the Youth. So Back to the Family will discuss the deteriorating condition of the family today and explore biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Amen. So the first show will launch on this Saturday, June the 19th at 4 p.m. The topic of discussion is going to be an introduction to Back to the Family. And then the second show will continue on Sunday, June the 20th at 4 p.m., which we know is Father's Day. And the topic of that discussion is going to be celebrating fathers and their importance. And I think it's just a wonderful way to kick off this you know, series that Kat Kat's going to be doing. You know, when we talk about the Lord, everything happens in order. God has an order. And so I know that it's not by coincidence, but it's divinely set up where this is all happening on Father's Day, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. So again, Saturday, June 19th is the first show. The topic of discussion is an introduction to Back to the Family. So it's on the 19th at 4 p.m. And then the second show will continue on Sunday, June the 20th at 4 p.m. on Father's Day. And so that topic of discussion again. And we're so very excited for this. And we congratulate Kathy on this huge accomplishment. And so Run for Christ Ministry family, let's be supportive of our sister in Christ and make sure to tune in. The link to the show is listed on the church website, RFCM.org, under Christian Resources. Amen? Amen. So we also want to send a big congratulations to our own Malachi Freeman, the son of the beautiful Keela Freeman, as he graduates from Ecorus High School, class of 2021, on this Wednesday, June the 16th. Amen. We know that he will go on to do great and wonderful things. Excuse me. And we are so very proud of him. So, again, we say congratulations to him. We say congratulations to Keela and everybody who had a hand in him making it this far, because we know it definitely takes a village. Amen? Amen. So as a reminder, all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free 24/7, 365. You have access to all of the classes and services that we've had here. So go to our church website, rfcm.org. You can download the classes and most definitely make sure that you share them with others. Amen. So if you'd like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, excuse me, if you're a member and would like to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries, rfcm.org, again, is the place to go. You'll find all the info there. And FYI, we have made our second installment to the ministries that we support, Amen. So Forgotten Harvest, Salvation Army, Covenant House, Detroit Rescue Mission, and Gleaners. You know, so again, we thank everyone who continues to contribute to Run for Christ Ministries, so we're able to pour out onto these other ministries. You know, so we thank you and God bless you for your continuous support to Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. So in addition to this, if you'd like to give a love offering for Pastor O, who brought the word today, please go to his website, Pastor G. GMO.com. That's Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com. And you'll be able to give your love offering there. Amen? Amen. So we know that prayer is simply talking to God, and it's essential to bringing heaven down to earth. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we have been commanded to seek the Lord in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so we ask that you pray for all those who are sick, those who are shut in, of course, one another, and don't forget to pray for yourself. Pray for our children. They're going to be graduating or moving on to another, you know, class, whether it's elementary or middle school, high school, whatever the case may be. We're approaching the summertime. You know, the kids sometimes when they're idle, they kind of get into stuff. So summertime tends to be kind of busy. So just pray for our children. There's a lot of negativity and a lot of things that they can get into that is counterproductive to what they really should be doing. So we just really need to make sure that we pray for our children, of course, our nation, our world, our leaders, those who are missing and exploited, being trafficked and abused, as well, of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who are being persecuted for their belief and their service to the Lord. And so we also ask special prayers to go out to all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, special prayers go out to Reverend Richard Overall, Tyrone Hamilton, and Pastor John McFall. Amen. Pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, remembering Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness is telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your household in today's time, Judea, your community in today's time, Samaria, which is outside of your community, some places you wouldn't really normally go in today's time, and to the end of the earth. And that's some place where you never thought you'd ever want to go. You ain't fooling with them people over there because they're all straight crazy. Well, you know what? We all crazy, and that's why we need Jesus. And so the word of God needs to get to them too. And it's our job to spread the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Amen? Amen. So we got a job. Pastor reminded us what our job is today. If y'all ready to get up out of here, make sure you do your job. Amen? Amen. So Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad or heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see here and read about all over the world, you know, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and heartbroken and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, and love and peace upon you. Amen. So one of the ways that God meets our needs for companionship is through the church. When we trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become one not only with him, but every other believer. The church is called the body of Christ, and one of its purposes is to meet our need for person-to-person connection. A spiritual body works much like a human one. Parts are both independent and interdependent, needing each other in order to function well. And so to be spiritually and emotionally healthy, we all need support from our brothers and sisters in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesian church, Paul emphasizes Christ-like character qualities that make this possible: humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, and love. He also admonishes or urges believers to accept one another, Romans 15:7, and to bear each other's burdens. And that's Galatians 6:2. So you see, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. We need one another in order to become our true selves and to bring glory through the church. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. And that's John 13:35. We're all a family, after all, and one that spans the entire earth. Amen? Amen. So Matthew 5:14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or things. A smile or a kind word goes a long way, and the gift of love is free. So take time out to be a ray of sunshine in your world, wherever that is, for someone today, because as Hebrews 13:1-2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. And to our Running for Christ Ministries family, we know we're not together physically, but we are together in spirit. And as the Lord says in Matthew 18:19-20, I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And we know that more than two or three filled with the Holy Spirit have come together this morning. And so we thank God in advance for our answered prayers. Amen. Amen. And your devotional for today, In Body and Spirit by Dr. Charles Stanley. Some Christians mistakenly think the soul is all that matters and the physical body only gets in the way. But when God created the human body, he called it good. That's Genesis 1:31. Perhaps the confusion stems from what Paul meant when comparing the flesh with the spirit, and that's in Galatians 5. And using the word flesh, he was speaking not of the body but of the false self, the part of us prone to fear, selfishness, pride, and more. Our physical self, just as much as our spiritual being, belongs to God and is an instrument for his use. Both are, in fact, part of the new creation we become in Jesus. And so our true self has a redeemed soul as well as a redeemed body. Genesis 2:7 says, God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And we'll be physical beings in eternity as we're transformed into conformity with Christ's glorious body. That's Philippians 3:21. To discover the fullness of your true identity as God's child, embrace both the spirit and the body that he's given you. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you. Love you so
You're
much.
You're welcome. Love
and
you.
And I am all calmed down a little bit now.
Very
you
good.
Know,
praise God.
Just a little
just
residuals
just
left.
Just close. Yeah, because then you can stop preaching again, so you just need to close.
I'm telling you, and just let it go, you know.
Let it go.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're
Love you
welcome.
Much.
Amen. Love you, too.
Amen. I want to thank everybody for doing their part today. I want to thank Deacon Charles Tate for dealing with 2 Corinthians 7. Amen. And getting us started on all of that. And I want to thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. She is the one who gets all these folks together. And, you know, like Lisa and Nicole, they're both deaconess at our church and both sing on the praise team. But anyway, we thank God for you. And of course, Crystal, can't forget Deaconess June Rogers, who's the Lord uses to give me which way to go. And it always works. It's amazing. I just send her the word. That's all I do is send her. I don't even send her. I just send a subject and a text. And then Jesus do the rest. And I love that. Thank God for my wife who prays for me before every sermon. Amen. You should hear the ones where she don't pray. No, you shouldn't hear them. But anyway, thank God for her as well, always. She's been praying for me for a long time. And the Lord has been blessing me through her prayers for a long time. One of her prayers literally saved my life and my sanity. And I've been kind of hooked on her prayers ever since then because Jesus be listening. Amen. I love to deal with people who Jesus listened to because, you know, they might be able to ask him stuff I can't. But anyway, y'all, we got new bodies coming, so we don't have to worry about this one, even though from time to time it will try to take control and make us think about it all day and night. But we can look forward and say, I'll be so glad when I get my new body, when I can finally get up out of this thing that is dying as I live in it and get rid of that. Well, we already dealt with the sin nature. We just have to give in to the new nature. Deacon Tate got that problem. He'll teach you about that. Amen. He'll teach you how to give in to the new nature and get out of that old one. Amen. But anyway, we thank God for you. God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and how long? Come on, everybody, say forever. Ooh, I heard that. See you later.
Have our second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in the light every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength. Lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my I wanna thank you, God.
gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say, yeah.